Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
That's very common in all people, in all Christians, but I see it a lot in pastors. Pastors are always trying to compete. I don't know why pastors, especially pastors in churches and cities, they're always competing with other churches. What is that other church doing? What are they doing? What are the other pastors doing? See what this and that. And you know what happens? What happens with that? Those types of pastors, not only do they end up falling into situations, into financial situations of their churches, they themselves or their families. And then over time, they end up getting sick or getting tired, worn out. Because they don't trust in God. You know, see this one, about to be half a century of life. Almost half a century of life. You'll see me here. Still very green. Still stuck onto that tree. Just a little sprout wanting to come out. You know why? I'm not worrying. One thing is to occupy, another thing is to worry. I'm concerned of the things of the church, the people, the best that I can, but I'm not worrying about it. Years ago, a sister said here, every good pastor is worried about the people of the church. And I said, well, show me that in the Bible. Not even in First John or Second John or Third. Perhaps it's in First Religion, but it's not in the Bible. Now, let me show you something, because a moment ago, I mentioned something about religion and how religion is them trying to seek God, but in their own way. So let's see an example in the Bible. So in Acts, this is so good, isn't it? You know why? Yeah, I know it might seem exaggerated, but there are people who don't believe this. You know why I have an excellent matrimony? Like that. Oh, so you're so exaggerated. Well, think whatever you want to think. Excellent matrimony. You know why I have an excellent relationship with my wife? My wife with me? You know why we have such a good time? As I said on Sunday, two completely different personalities. We're about to be 22 years of marriage in July or in June of 22, right? My four children are here in the Lord. You know why? Because we learned to listen. We had to. That our faith could be greater. We learned to listen, to understand each other. But it's because every single one of us listens from the Lord and then we join it. What did the Lord tell you? What did He tell me? And now we want to see, is it right? Where is it then in the Word? And not just use verses, because especially husbands use that in the religious side. They use verses to manipulate their wives. Yeah, you can use verses in the Bible, but in reality they're not inspired by the Lord, or vice versa. Wives to husbands, that's the manipulation of the devil. Acts 17. Verse 16, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Therefore, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshippers, and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. Then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers, I'm going to spend a long time explaining who these people are, so I'll explain it some other time, encountered him, and some said, what does this blabber want to say? Others said, he seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods, because he's preached to them of Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, a brother, to the tribunal there in Athens, saying, may we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak. May we know what this new doctrine, religion, and religious people always speaking of new revelations and new teachings that, according to them, the Spirit of God tells them. There you have one there. They don't even dominate what they already know, and they want new revelations. Yeah, it's true, there are phases of revelation. One thing is a phase or layers of revelation, understanding for yourself. But religion is always trying to give you new ones, as in a new revelation, and then you get tired of it because, oh man, that Holy Spirit, their Holy Spirit, it has more rules, and you have to do this, this, and the other, and you end up born now, you don't even know what to do anymore. The true Holy Spirit will bring you peace, brings you conviction, helps you, doesn't condemn you, instructs you, teaches you. Now, if you're condemned, that's on you. But the Holy Spirit brings conviction, assurance. So you can see here in verse 19, the verse finishes saying, now may we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak. 20, for you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean. For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Verse 20. Now, perhaps one of you could ask, well, what does it have to do with religion? Continuing, then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through, 23, and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. What does to know mean? Having intimacy, relationship with God. To the unknown God, therefore the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. But notice how they had an altar. And it was written there, to the unknown God. Meaning, there was no love, there was no faith, because there was no relationship. They praised something that they did not understand or know. God does not receive that. You see, observe everything that you are very religious. So they sought a relationship with God, but in their own way. There was no Bible, or there was no scriptures. How many of you can see it there? Notice, we just started reading it, verse 17. It's vital to read this slowly, so that the Spirit of God then can bring to revelation. Notice 16. Now while Paul waited for them, his spirit was provoked when he saw that the city was given over to idols. As I taught you during the time that Paul preached, they still did not have, known as this time, as the New Testament. Now, of course, we've studied that the people did study. We've seen what is that the people studied at this time? What is known as the Old Testament. The Law of Moses, the Prophets, the Psalms. And they speak against idolatry. They didn't study any of that. They weren't interested. That's religion. Now, can you define religion one more time? It's man seeking a relationship with God, but in their own way. Have you heard people who tell you, I believe in God in my way? Have they told you that way? Well, He's a very religious person. And religion will not save you. No one goes to heaven or hell being good or bad. He who goes to heaven or hell has to do with their nature. Is either you're a child of God, you've received God as your Lord and Savior, or you have not received Him. No one goes to heaven for good works, bad works, behaving good, or for behaving bad. Do you understand? I hope you understand. Oh, then we can behave bad. Behaving bad will bring consequences. Sin will make it where the devil will bring that avenue and destroy your life. Gonna eat your lunch and hit you with your lunchbox. Sinning just purposefully is nonsense. God does not have stupid children. Someone say amen. So my question for you is this then, tonight, inspired by the Holy Spirit, that question. Everything that you're doing, the work that you have, really, did God give it to you? Or was it because you have that job, because you need to have it, because you're in debt, because you do not hear from God? I'm missing two or three more crickets here. And if you think and say, yeah, that's right, I'm in this because of me, there's nothing I can do. Well, that's the most the Holy Spirit can do with you then. But the Holy Spirit has every answer because He hears from God. Which is why when you pray, as I've taught you, series, you can start with praising God, thanking the Lord. Don't rush to try to throw God your needs. Spend some time. No matter how much. I won't tell you a minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes. I don't know, but spend some time. Spend some time praising God. Father, thank you for your presence. Father, thank you that you love me. Always say thank you because you love me, because you are with me. Thank you because I am your son. Thank you because I am temple of the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you that you guide me. Thank you, Lord. And if you did something, don't bring it to remembrance. Remember, as I taught you, you also saw it on Sunday. Don't bring up your errors. That he who will forget your iniquities. I say that because there are Christians, your life of prayer is 70% just asking forgiveness from God. They have not received forgiveness, therefore they have not received the love of God. And you're also limiting God. And when you start praising God, you say, Father, thank you. Father, if there's something that you need to correct me in, I'm willing to listen. There probably is. Sometimes I'm praying and the Lord tells me, I know you told that man. I came and said, Lord, good teacher, what is it that you want me to do? What must I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord said, you lack one thing. And I've told the Lord, I know that there are some times. If you were to tell me you lack one thing, son, say, wow, I know with me it's about 50 things that you lack. Which is why I thank you for your patience. And I start praising, and now here's where the Holy Spirit comes in. Very importantly, you start praying in other tongues. Praying in the Spirit, your time of prayer is vital. Because you'll hear from God. I can sum up that praying will include why I also think in this series, I think I also shared with you in our last sessions, always have your Bible open. There are times, again, I'll repeat it because I don't want you to make a doctrine out of things. There are times where you can start reading one or two chapters of your Bible. It's part of your life of prayer, not just speaking. And there, the Spirit of God will start ministering to you. There are other times where you start praising Him and giving glory. Acts of thanksgiving. You won't always start reading. Perhaps you won't always start with acts of thanksgiving. There are times where you will start reading. Perhaps there are times, as I told you, God the Father. Some people read it this way. God the Father who is in heaven. Or they even put their little hands like this. Very kind. It's not making fun. What I'm telling you is not making fun. It's not condemnation. Not criticism. Just saying, so you don't do it. You don't need to put your hands like this. Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your will be done, your kingdom come. Don't do that. The Lord did not give us that prayers, that way of praying. Yeah, sometimes there are times how you have to be right directed. There are times where I start, "My Father who is in heaven and in all places where you are also in me, thank you that you're with me." Sometimes I'll be praying and I'll quote certain verses. I don't have to say 1 Corinthians 6:17. I'm one with Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:19. That I do it here with you to show you that it's in the Bible. But don't go with God saying, "Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Your word says in 1 Corinthians 6:17 that I am one with you." And then in 19, "I am temple of the Holy Spirit." Forget about it. God will resist you. That's just pride and spirit of a Pharisee. If you read the Gospels, the Lord was more patient with the prostitutes and with the tax collectors and with the Pharisees. Never come to God based on your goodness of, "Oh, I'm so good. I'm so cool. I'm so intelligent, Lord. Hallelujah." Get that out of your vocabulary of, "Oh, I deserve it." And, "Oh, the good thing that this is happening to me. I deserve it." All that nonsense. "Oh, I deserve a good rest. I deserve this." Get that vocabulary out of your mouth. When someone tells you, "Oh, this is happening to you because you deserve it," well, in love, correct them. Especially if they're people of the world. Or they're carnal Christians who are not instructed. Correct them. Say, no. "All that's happening to me is because of the goodness of the Lord." By the goodness of God, always give glory to God. Get that vocabulary out of your mouth of saying, "I deserve it." You know what you and I deserve? To die and go to hell. Because although we make an effort, and I recommend making an effort in the Lord, I can assure you there are always mistakes, and we always have to, what was that? Oh, we'll be making adjustments. We have to be making adjustments in our life. And then we receive direction from the Lord. This life is like driving. How many of you get in the car and you're driving and just have the steering wheel just stuck there? You're going to end up crashing. You have to make adjustments when you're driving. That's the life in the Lord. Amen. But you have to seek from Him. There are times where I say, "Oh, my Father who is in heaven and in all places, I glorify you and I thank you that you're with me." Your name is holy. Your name is glorified. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you. Two things that I always do before going to sleep. Father, before going to sleep, before closing my eyes, I say, "Father, thank you. I love you with all my mind, with all my heart, in all my strength, with all my mind. My neighbor as I love myself," how the Lord said. And I quote what the Lord said in the Gospels. "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another." From there I say, "Thank you. I love my brothers. My brothers in Christ. I have nothing against no one. Lord, if I have something and I have not seen it, I have not noticed it, make me know. Make my heart pure and holy before you." Not my spirit. My spirit is pure, but my mind, remember? As we've been seeing on Sundays. Come on, Sundays. Bring to my mind, when I say my heart, I refer to my mind, not the spirit. And I thank you, Father. That's how I lie down every night. And I start praying in the spirit. And then I don't even realize when I fall asleep. And I sleep. Literally, as the Bible says, he sleeps by night, rises by day. But just in the morning, almost half a century of life, by the grace of God, I don't have to be getting up at night to always constantly using the restroom. 2 or 3 times having to go to the restroom. I sleep, and then 6-7 hours what I normally sleep, and then I wake up. Then I wake up to use the restroom. But before that, when I open my eyes, I say, "Father, good morning." I don't even ask him how he woke up. You know why? Because years ago I asked him, "Good morning, Father, glory to God. Good morning. How was your night?" He said, "My night is always good. Remember, it's written in my word, he who guards you will not sleep." You know, that's true. I'll never ask you that again, and I don't ask him. I always tell him, good morning, Father. Thank you for another day of life. And I always say this. This is the day where I will receive. This is my receiving day. This is the day that I receive. I receive everything that I am believing for. Hallelujah. Doesn't the Bible say, when you pray, believe that you will receive it and you will have it? The Spirit of God spoke those words to me, your brother Copeland. He taught me. He does it as well. Need testimony. And years ago, I started it. Then I go to the bathroom. And then when I'm peeing, I say, thank you, Father. Because my urinary system works exactly as you designed it. I'm healed. Many years I've had saying that. I need another two or three more crickets here. Can you go get me some crickets, please? No, it's a joke. Don't go out there. Oh, yeah, I have three right here, Pastor.
The Word of God says in Romans 10, 9 through 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For in the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you have not received Jesus Christ, you have not been born again. Therefore, you have to take the next step. I am not speaking about a religion or changing your religion. I am speaking about you receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. I invite you to make this confession with me. God, in heaven above, I come before you to receive the gift of life, to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. I believe that you raised him from the dead. I believe he is alive and he reigns. Jesus, I give you my life, and I invite you into my heart. From now on, God, I can call you Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for receiving me as your child. Now, if you have said this prayer, you have been born again. Welcome to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to God's family. And remember, with all thy getting, get understanding. The word says in 2 Corinthians 5, 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight.
Do you have any questions regarding this teaching? Visit our website at mpfccc.org and click on the questions section to submit your question for Pastor Ignacio Hughes. Join us at Word of Faith Ministries in fulfilling the Lord's commission to share the Word of God worldwide. Your generous donations make a tangible impact and are greatly appreciated. To contribute, please visit our website, mpfccc.org, and go to the giving section. To make a donation, fill out the donation form, enter your desired contribution amount, select the specific fund you wish to give to, add your preferred payment method, and click the Give button to finalize your donation. Upon completion, you will receive a confirmation of your donation. Your contribution plays an important role in every outreach program, every salvation, and every life transformed through our ministry.
Hi, I'm Kayla. I have a quick question for you. Did you enjoy our teachings? How about the Kingdom and Government episodes? We'd love to know how this content has made a difference in your life. If it's been helpful, go ahead and like the video and drop a comment. We'd love to know how God's Word is impacting you.
That's what I do. Every day. And another thing that I do every day, you know why I do it? Because remember, as we read, the Holy Spirit will speak to you and guide you to all things. It's things that the Holy Spirit has told me every day before each meal. Normally, I eat during the day, I eat at least two meals. Today, I had three, and I can say because around midday, I had baby food. I like the Gerber, the powdered Gerber. Yeah, and so what? The baby food, yeah, and so what? You don't buy it. Not like you're buying it for me. And I had a little snack there. Some of you are looking at me like, you always tell. You always look at me saying, oh, are you kidding? Amen. My daughters laugh because when they go to Walmart, they say, oh, my dad's baby food. So I thank the Lord. My baby food and a good coffee. And I pray again. This is what I pray when I have dinner as well. Normally it's two meals a day. And I always pray it this way. Father. Because the Bible says that the meals, their prayer are sanctified. Which is why sometimes you have tremendous diarrhea. Because apart from the fact that you don't know what you eat, you don't pray and thank the Lord. Amen. It's true. Okay, can I tell you something that happened one time with my pastor in heaven? Where the majority of you knew? We were in a restaurant one time. And I won't tell you who. I won't tell you who. But some other people were there. Very close to him. But not to offend anyone. And when we had the food, we always thank the Lord beforehand. Because, you know, it's there. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit give testimony of the scriptures. So you can start doing it. 1 Timothy 4. And it says, the Spirit of God here. 4 verse 1. Glory to God. It's a rest when you pray in tongues. I'm going to start educating myself between verse and verse to pray in tongues and thanking the Lord. 1 Timothy 4 verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says, the Spirit of God here, that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Verse 2, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry. There are some religions where, did you know that the pastor can't marry? That's another subject. And commanding to abstain from foods. You see the doctrines of demons. And commanding to abstain from foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving, by those who believe and know the truth. You imagine going to a restaurant. You don't know what the cooks did back there. It's true. If they spit in it or not. What they grabbed. Where they were grabbing and then said, I had diarrhea when I went to this place. Well, of course. Apart from the fact that you didn't pray. You're embarrassed to pray in front of the people. What are the people going to think? Go get those crickets. What are the people going to say is what many of you think? You don't receive it with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, the way that I pray, at least two times a day. Seven days a week. 14 times. And I pray like this. Father, thank you for this meal. I believe that they are sanctified. I receive them with acts of thanksgiving. And thank you because you bless the brothers of the church, of the churches, of our churches, and the partners, the faith partners of Word of Faith Ministries, and they lack nothing in their home as I lack nothing in my home. And you bless them, spirit, soul, body, and financially. So if you're in depression, you don't sleep due to worry, and you're more broke than a rat, it's not on me. I pray for you. Amen. Because you're not responding to that prayer and to God in faith. 14 times a week. How many is that in the month, right? You have a very mathematic brain there. How many? 56, give or take? Something like that? 68, wow. You can be poor. You can be worried. Discouraged. And then you say, and perhaps my pastor isn't praying for me. Because you don't believe this. Because out there, for the dog tacos or whatever it is that you had on the street, Father, thank you for this meal. I bless them with the word. Amen. And you do it in faith. Faith pleases God. Well, I'm going to pray to the Lord saying, if I have diarrhea, no. That's just religion. You pray in faith according to the word. You're not religious as those in Athens. In faith, you thank the Lord. 14 times a week. I speak life in your finances, in your matrimony, where you lack nothing. But you see, the Holy Spirit is the one that helps. It's the Holy Spirit that has guarded me from falling in heretical teaching. Because the Holy Spirit is linked with the Lord Jesus. And I am one with Jesus. But the Holy Spirit helps me where those scriptures are one in me. Start praying. The Spirit of God, I have much to say, but I don't have so much time anymore. But the Spirit of God is the one that has helped me to be faithful to one woman. Because if you see how many pastors are tied up in things right now, it's embarrassing. Yeah, God loves them. God is not mad with any of them. God can restore them. But that's also part of hearing the voice of God. The Spirit will warn you and say, careful with this. Part of understanding the Lord Jesus is giving testimony to the people. It will guard you, the love of God. When you pray in the Spirit, the Apostle Jude told us, it guards you in the love of God. And for love, you will not do any non-stupidities. For the love of God, do not blaspheme the name of God. Because when I hear of pastors who fall in adultery, leave the churches, do things, pastors where they have caught them that they're watching pornography and all that. You know what they say on the news anchors of the world and the people in the cities where those churches are at? And he's supposedly a pastor. And he speaks of God as if God is the one to blame of the stupid decisions that they took. I'm not judging anyone. It's just telling you that things happen, again, due to not listening. But if you hear from God, brothers and sisters, he brings you these things to remembrance. Brings to life the verses. You understand what you're reading for you. How this applies. How does this apply to me? Give you the words if you're a father when you sit down. For us, when we sit down, family too, very sacred. First rule, no phone. No phones. At first, there are youth now, they were, give me the phone. And they feel naked without their phone. There are people like that. First rule is no phone at the dinner table. And we laugh, have a good time, we speak of. I believe the Lord told me something this week and my children same. I believe the Lord told me that I have to change this. I believe the Lord is speaking to me of future plans. That's the Holy Spirit right there. That's religion. That's not religion. That's not nonsense. That's the word. The Holy Spirit, then I'll speak this later. The Holy Spirit also helps you to maintain your body in health. Brings to life those verses. The Holy Spirit says in Romans that gives life to your mortal body. Tongues does not rebuke the devil or illnesses, but the anointing of the Holy Spirit starts flowing through your body. The Bible says that the same Spirit in Romans 8:11 that rose up Jesus from the dead brings life to your mortal body, and you start praying And just a simple prayer like this, thank you, Father. Thank you that the Holy Spirit helps me. Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence in me. Thank you for your presence that you help us to pray. And if you need healing in your body, help me, Lord. Help me, Holy Spirit, to have a revelation that by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed in this moment. And you start praying in other tongues, and that anointing starts bringing life to your body. The anointing of the Holy Spirit starts moving inside of you, in your bones, kidneys, in your lungs, in your mind. And that worry leaves. And the Holy Spirit puts that prompting where, thank you, Father, who always carries me in triumph in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, I am more than a conqueror. You know what? It's not your intellect. It's not because of your head. No, it's the Spirit of God. And you withdraw from hearing your spirit. As I shared here on Sunday, here is where you have the information. Now, of course, you have to put the information here, but the spirit inside will start withdrawing that information like grabbing water from a well. You know why I don't do more than what I need to in the ministry? Because the Spirit of God has not told me to do anything more than what I am doing now. What the Lord has told me to do is what I'm doing now. And are we going to stay here? No. But I don't move up until I don't have anything from God. And even when the Lord has told me things, I don't do them right away. I don't rush anything, speaking in the ministry or personally in a business. If I don't understand, I'm sincere and I say, Father, I don't understand. But the Bible says that here in your spirit, I know all things. But here in my mind, I don't understand. But I'll understand it. Be patient with me and I'll seek from you more. And sometimes I speak from the Lord and I can understand better. But there are some things where the Lord tells me, don't do them yet, but I want you to prepare for this. Especially in the ministry, it has happened. Because years ago, as I told you, I haven't been the most perfect. Years ago, I just do anything. Oh, the Lord told me right away. And then things didn't work. Lord, what happened? I know that you told me. Yeah, but I didn't tell you to do it now. The afternoon, I told Nubia, love, you know what? I think we're going to do this. We start doing little by little. I don't know what the result is yet, but I believe the Lord is guiding me. Then I'll tell you what it's about later. Praying in the Spirit. Praying in other tongues, hearing from God. If you hear from God, God will teach you these things. God will reveal them to you. And you can be willing to say, Father, speak to me about this. That's something that the Lord said. He speaks of honoring. Teach me more. Bring them to light. And he'll do it if you do it in faith. Same thing in giving, there are some of you where I have spent years, some of you have spent years with me and you don't give a single dollar split in half. You don't believe in it. Will we obligate you? No, God doesn't obligate you. But haven't you thought of why you're stuck? Some of you are, God bless those income taxes. If it weren't for that, you wouldn't make it even until next year. Do you think God wants you like that? No, because you don't believe this. God cannot obligate you, nor can I obligate you. God, I can teach you and continue to teach you, but I can't do anything. You say, Lord, the word has to be received. Amen. You know why some of you, the Spirit of God, you're in the same place. You struggle with your job, struggle with money, struggle with your children, struggle with your families, struggle at home. It's not to criticize, I'm trying to help you. But it's because you're not hearing from God. If you would hear, the Holy Spirit would tell you. There are wives, for example, that are mad with their husbands because, you're not going to change up. I'm not going to change up until this idiot over here changes. The Spirit of God, I can assure you, is screaming to you, you change first. Again, there are husbands where they wait up until she changes and then it's like dogs and cats. time is spending, time is spending, they're aging, and then they're either in the same position or worse, spiritually speaking. And it's easy to blame someone else, easy to blame the circumstances. If you would hear from the Holy Spirit, he would tell you, you start changing first, is from the inside out. You cannot obligate someone to change, but you can change yourself with the help of God. Because when God starts changing you with his word and the Holy Spirit, the change is permanent. And you start making slight adjustments, but you're changing. What a different way of seeing the Holy Spirit, huh? Of religion and religious things. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Stand on your feet with me. Thank you, Father.
Start to pray another time in the Spirit. Be guided by the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Go to the Lord. He's the one who gave you life and loves you more than the world. He lives inside you and he wants to change your life. He has a perfect plan for you, for each one of us. Amen. But you have to seek wholeheartedly. Be content and happy with what you have until now, but believe the Lord for more and let him speak. And the Spirit of God, what the first thing he'll do is he'll bring correction. Why do you think there's people that do things that say, Trump said he was going to change economy. How is he going to fix something 4 years of disaster in 4 weeks? That's why he's doing budget cuts and unnecessary expenses of billions of dollars thrown. And then that money, you put it to work. Of course. Well, the Spirit of God, the majority of times, begins correcting. He's not going to condemn you or tell you you're going to hell or call you dumb. The Holy Spirit won't say that. He's going to say, son, change this. Close this door to the devil. Son, don't speak like this. Daughter, don't speak like this. Change your way of being, of communicating, and he'll guide you to scriptures. He'll give you scriptures of peace. And that's why it's good to spend time with him. Before going to bed or in the morning, during the day, meditate on what he's given you, certain things, and you write it down. If you're driving, don't read it, but meditate on it. And meditate and speak. And for that reason, by the grace of God, I've held myself and I'm in faith. And right now, I think I teach better faith than I did back in the day in Mesa. But it's not new doctrines, but it's just the Holy Spirit. How the Holy Spirit said through Fred Price, if the Lord showed you something, teach it through the same basis. Glory to God, there's a higher understanding. But until you change your way of thinking and stop thinking and speaking like the world, stop thinking that everything's lost. Then the Holy Spirit guide you and he'll help you. He doesn't do everything, but he is our helper. He'll always help us. He has no option. Because you are a son and daughter of God. And when you glorify Jesus, he glorifies Jesus, he glorifies you. When he glorifies Jesus, he glorifies you too. When there's a healing in your body, glorifying Jesus So he's glorifying you too. And you operate. Heavenly Father, thank you for each the word this night. Thank you that they all have the opportunity to sow. All of your children have the opportunity to sow. But now it's you who brings the conviction. They decide to participate and give in your works, but it's also valid to believe for a harvest. Speak blessing over your home and your finances. But there's also two ways to bring a harvest, with words and listening from the Lord. Because you're sowing, and with your mouth, maybe you're giving place to the devil, maybe with a lifestyle of sin. And then the Holy Spirit tells you, speak blessing. And he tells you, close this door to the devil. Close this other door. And then the harvest will be manifested. Not God who's holding that harvest. Remove those ideas from your mind. The Lord just hasn't blessed me. Remove those ideas, because then you'll always have a conscience of sin instead of a conscience of who you are in Christ. The Lord continues to love you, and he's always willing to bring blessing. He continues to love you even if you're in sin. But in sin, he wants to manifest himself, but he can't because there's sin. But you see, it's not God, it's the devil. So you say glory to God. You know, for example, there's Christians. And they always say and they always think that if they sin, that the Lord is mad at them. And you should hate sin because, not because it's going to make the Lord upset, but because it's going to destroy you. The Lord doesn't change from him to you. Amen? Because he sees you in Christ, not because he sees you in your flesh, but he sees you in Jesus Christ. But what sin does, you don't see the Lord the same. And the devil says, yes, think it's from the Lord. The devil says, I come in agreement with you. He destroys you. But if you say, Lord, thank you because you love me, even of the sin and my disobedience, I repent. I close all doors to the devil. I humble before you, and I receive that blood that has cleansed me. Lord, you have been good and merciful, even if I have been disobedient. The Bible says that the kindness of God will work for you. Amen? That's why we give after giving the word.
Were you ministered and were you fed with the word of God? Then we give you the opportunity do so online tonight, or in this day, or whenever you are listening to us. The Word of God says in Galatians 6, verse 6 and 7, let him who is taught the Word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. In those same verses, but in the New Living Translation, those who are taught the Word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. So in this case, we are speaking of Word of Faith Ministries, which teaches you the Word. Now, verse 7, New Living Translation, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. So when a person is constantly fed with the Word of God, they should respond. Why? Because it is good for you. This is good for you. This is good for you yourself, because when you sow the word out of thankfulness, then you will reap. And at the same time, you help us, or you help that person who is being fed, in this case, from Word of Faith Ministries, to be taken farther. If Word of Faith Ministries does not feed you spiritually, then pray to the Lord to direct you or someone else and to another ministry to where you can be fed. But from where you are fed, the honorable is that you sow in that word. The Bible says that God gives to the sower. There is no such thing as, oh, I don't have or I can't. That's true. The Bible says that God gives seed to the sower and bread for food. So if you start believing by faith, the laws of faith are, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask seed to sow. I believe that I receive it and thank you for it. And from then on, every single day, thank you, Father, that you give me seed to sow. Miraculously, God will provide seed. We've lived it for those who believe in this. We've lived it time and time again, and we've experienced it time and time again. I agree with you in this day, in the moment of sowing. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you for those who will participate in sowing and reaping. I call an abundant harvest, a hundredfold return. We believe we receive this in agreement in prayer. Thank you. Thank you that your word is true. And thank you that we see prosperity in the lives of your children, in those who will sow, in those who will give. In this moment, we thank you. And we agree, and you know what? Nothing. You will lack nothing. And not only you will lack nothing, you will come out of debt. Not only will you come out of debt, you will prosper in the way of God. You will prosper according to the way of God. When that harvest comes now, be wise. Seek wisdom. Don't spend. Get out of debt. God wants you free of debt. And he wants you very prosperous to finance the gospel of the kingdom. God bless you greatly.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.
Be the first to be notified of our latest streamings by subscribing to our YouTube channel, Word of Faith Ministries. Don't forget to like, comment, and share.